Hello and a very warm welcome to all of you at our worship service today, which we are sharing amongst the congregations in our area grouping. So thank you for being with us. And as it has become our practice, we're starting with the blether. This morning, not so much about stories of what's going on in our respective congregations, but you will, most of you should be aware by now that we have started working towards a covenant agreement between our congregations. And to that end, we met on Thursday, which date was it? It'll be two Thursdays.
The
29th of April, that was it, to speak about, to begin the conversation about our future together. And participants from each congregation were part of that conversation. So we're going to just share some reflections about that. And you and I'll send it to you first. How was the meeting for you and the folk at Cluny Money Musk?
Well, thank you for that. The feedback I've had was relatively positive. There was an awful lot to catch hold of at the meeting. And I think that's, for us, it's sort of opened our eyes that this is not something that's going to happen overnight, that we have a lot of chatting, discussion and planning to do, but that it was very useful to have so many people. And it was lovely to see the folk from Blairdaff Chapel of Geary joining in as well. And so for us, it was more about giving us an encouragement that we need this work to be done before we actually do anything in terms of agreeing a covenant or anything of that nature. So yeah, it was positive. There was an awful lot of information on the night, and some of my members didn't catch all of it, but that's okay. They'll see the minute when it comes out. But it's a good starting point. That's all I would say. And I think it was that we've been talking about it for a couple of years, or on and off for almost a couple of years now. But I think that meeting was the starting point for many of the practicalities and the journey that we're making together. So yes, it was positive outcome. I think that's all from us.
Thank you. And Sheila, what's the meeting?
I think the take from the folk at Echt and Midmar that were there again was really positive. I think the overall feeling was that there was a bit of an energy about the meeting. We did say in the blether last week that one of the positives is that actually this really is genuinely a ground-up initiative, so we can design for ourselves how we want this relationship to look. So Joshua gave a really good presentation about models of collaborative working that exist in the church. And I think sometimes we forget that, and that was an eye-opener as well, that really creative ways of working and relationships between area groupings and congregations actually exist already in the church. And that is normal for many of our members, or a good number of our members in the Church of Scotland. So it was interesting to find out a bit more about what sorts of models from which we could pick and choose things that may well work for us, you know, are about. I think that was interesting. And then we gave some time over in the meeting, as you know, to thinking perhaps about some long-term and medium, or short, I should say, medium-term possibilities of where we might start to concentrate. So I think there was an energy, and it's not to deny that there's a lot to be worked out. But I think it was a good start, and it sort of set the direction of travel, and it grounded it in some reality. And I'm a commissioner this year to the General Assembly later this month, and that's going to be interesting from the other side, from that national perspective, to see what changes, if any, are coming as well, and how that will impact on us. But yes, I think we feel enthused. We're definitely committed to the journey. Let's put it that way, and excited, I think, to see where it goes.
Lovely. Thank you, Sheila. Fiona, what was the response in Kemnay amongst, what's the mood in Kemnay?
I think, once again, a very positive response. I think, you know, it was good to see such a willingness to find ways to work together, and the contrast between looking at the big picture of what the whole thing's going to look like, and then looking at the nitty-gritty and the details about how we can do it in a practical way, I think is really, really important. Get a balance of both. And it's just good to see everybody sort of going into it with an open mind and positive to make this work, because I think there's an understanding that this is what has to happen. And so being positive about it is certainly a great way to start. And as you were both saying, it's lovely to have seen representatives from Laird Ath Chapelgiri there as well. Nice to have them included in the fold within this one.
Lovely. Yeah, I think the takeaway for us was also that they're, you know, cautiously optimistic. I think it will really start taking shape when we start doing things together. And you know, as I've said to my folk, this meeting, this way of worshiping is the first step of us doing things together. So I think it'll kind of start taking shape as we do more, as we dip our toes in the water a little bit more. So that'll be good. Joshua, you gave a lovely presentation at the meeting, and I thank you very much for that. Any
pleasure.
Final comments from you? You're also preaching this week, so you might want to just lead us into what we'll be focusing on this week.
Yeah, thanks for that. Yeah, I would echo everything that's been said by all of you lovely people about the meeting. And speaking for myself, I think I was treated the meeting as a chance to lay some relational groundwork and to hopefully make us aware of the wider picture and possible avenues going forward. And so I think my prayer, my hope is that we can learn from what's already been done, but really make this process our own as well, and to make it as meaningful, as impactful for our grouping as we possibly can. So with that said, I'll be looking at continuing on in John chapter 15 this week for lectionary reading. And interestingly enough, it's the passage where Jesus talks about greater love has none than this, that the one who lays down his life for the other. And so I'll be looking in this sermon about what does it mean to live into that. Obviously, Christ is a great example, but what does it mean for us as his followers to live into that kind of agape love ethic?
Wonderful. We look forward to that. So with that, let us go to worship.
Good morning. Our call to worship today is taken from Psalm 100. So let us shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth, and worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is good. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. So let's enter together his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Let's give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Let us come before the Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Loving Father God, you speak to us through the glory of your creation. You speak to us through the Bible, and you speak with us through the words and the actions of others. Grant us ears to hear and eyes to see, we pray, that we may be open and receptive to all that you have to say to us. We ask for gentle, teachable hearts, and we pray for courage and resilience, that we can be brave enough to stand for you in the face of adversity. We confess before you now that we do not always reach for the highest goals. At times, our focus will shift from you and our tempers will quicken. Or maybe it's our words that flow unchecked. So for the times when we have gossiped, we ask for your forgiveness. For the times when we have spoken instead of listening, we pray for your grace. We can be selfish, we can be thoughtless, we can react mindlessly, and for this we pray for your mercy. Help us to find courage, Father, to face up to our mistakes, to ask for forgiveness from those we have wronged, and to do better tomorrow in the security of your love. Although we know that we can do nothing to earn the love which you have so freely given to us, we want to be worthy of you. And it is out of our love that comes our desire to be the people you have called us to be. Bless us this morning, our loving Father, as we worship you together. Amen.
Hear now God's word. I want to read to you from the Gospel of St. John at chapter 15 and verses 9 to 17. Hear God speak to us through his holy word. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command: love each other. Amen. and thanks be to God for his most holy word.
Hello, everybody. It's always a blessing to be together in our joint services of worship. I hope you're all keeping well. And if you've been able, I hope you've also found some enjoyment in the gradual lessening of COVID-related restrictions here in Scotland. Lord willing, it's just a few short days until most of this country will be able to enjoy even more freedoms as we all continue to do our part in fighting this global pandemic. Last week in our joint worship, Sheila shared an important message with us from the beginning of John chapter 15. And this chapter contains one of Jesus' famous I am statements. I am the vine, you are the branches. We heard from Sheila how it is so tempting to stop and focus only on the comforting parts of Scripture and ignore the harder parts of this passage. And she referenced the harder part of the reality of spiritual pruning, pruning back even fruitful branches for the sake of future growth. And of course, the pruning of the branches relates to our lives as disciples. And to quote Sheila's wise words directly, she said, "So our relationship with God cannot be static. It has to be something that's shaped and reshaped, trained and trimmed, cut back, encouraged, grown, regrown, and renewed over and over and over again." And I find that life is full of these kinds of back and forth, gradual growth endeavors, sometimes two steps forward, one step back, but progress is still being made. Over the last couple of years, I've really gotten into cycling, and I found this back and forth and gradual growth model to be very applicable to this activity. I enjoy cycling. I find that it's a good and fun way to maintain some measure of fitness. And every few weeks, I'm supposed to take what is called an FTP test, functional threshold power test. And it's as daunting as it sounds. It's basically 30 minutes. The test is 30 minutes of riding your bike as hard as you possibly can, completely emptying the tank, leaving everything on the wheel. After the first couple tests, after exerting yourself that hard, it's exciting to see the rapid progress in fitness. But as your body adjusts to the continual exercise over weeks and months, it isn't long before the gains in fitness become smaller and smaller. And on one occasion after I took a test, I even went back a little in my result. And I must admit, it was frustrating to see what I viewed at the time as regression, as a type of failure. But I kept taking the tests on the recommended time scale, and I kept trusting the process. And when I zoom out on all of my data and I look at all the tests I've done, there are highs and there are tests that aren't as high and some tests that are lower. But overall, I have grown in my fitness. The highs and the lows are both important parts of the process. You cannot have one without the other. And I think a lot of this is true for our lives of Christian discipleship as well. As Sheila said, the life of Christian discipleship, of abiding in Jesus, is not a static existence. It's not a static life. It's one of a constant process. And I think it's possible that some seasons of discipleship will feel more fruitful and more meaningful than others. There'll be times when our lives are absolutely bursting with fruit, and there'll be other times when we are being pruned back, perhaps for the sake of future fruitfulness. And that's okay. That's okay to have seasons of fruitfulness and seasons of pruning in our lives. It's all okay. It's all, I would say, part of God's plan, as long as the general trajectory is a deepening relationship with Christ, a deepening growth and a deepening and a growth in our faith. Whether we are bearing fruit or being pruned back, our call is the same, to abide fully in Jesus Christ. And this brings us to the second part of John chapter 15, which is especially famous for verses 12 and 13. "This is my commandment," Jesus says, "that you love one another as I have loved you. greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. So after all of his talk about bearing fruit, about being pruned back for more fruitfulness and then bearing more fruit, it might seem a little jarring for Jesus to suddenly proclaim, greater love has no one than this, that someone laid down his or her life for his or her friends. But I think a closer examination of the text will show us that everything Jesus has said thus far goes very well together. To put it all together, we can say that the ultimate act of the fruitful discipleship that Jesus was talking about in the first part, this ultimate act of fruitful discipleship, it's seen most clearly in a willingness to lovingly lay down one's life for others. The ultimate act of fruitful discipleship, the ultimate expression of discipleship, is seen in lovingly laying down one's life for others. And we take it at face value. This passage refers to one person's willingness to die for someone else as an act of love. It is the ultimate sacrifice, and one which former U.S. President Abraham Lincoln called the last full measure of devotion. For us as Christians, the ultimate example of this last full measure of devotion is, of course, found in Jesus' own willingness to die for us on the cross, so that we might be restored to right relationship with God through him. Now, this is certainly an important and central aspect of the text, of this willingness to lovingly lay down our life for others if called upon to do so. But I think this passage is also more about than how we might die for others. In this passage, I think Jesus is also teaching us about how we might live with and for others as well. What do I mean by this? I mean that while many of us will never be in the position of having to actually physically die for someone, nevertheless, every Christian is called to imitate our Lord's posture of agape love for other people. Now, if you didn't know, agape is a biblical word that we translate as love. Especially in John's gospel, the word agape is all over the place. And agape love is a special form of love in that it is inherently sacrificial in nature. Agape love puts the needs of others before the needs of the self, and it does so with a glad, willing, and selfless spirit. This may not be surprise us at all, but this is the kind of love. Agape is the kind of love that God shows to all of us in Jesus Christ. It's the kind of love that Paul talks about in his famous Corinthians passage in chapter 13. Love is patient, love is kind, does not envy, does not boast, does not keep record of wrongs, always rejoices in the truth, always hopes, always believes, always perseveres. That's agape love. That's Christ-like love. It's the highest virtue of the Christian life, this agape love. Recently, you may be aware that we had our first official meeting of our new presbytery grouping, consisting of representatives from the churches of Kintore, Ecton Midmar, Cluny Monymusk, Blairdaff, Chapel Aguirre, and Kemnay. It was a fruitful meeting, to draw back to the John 15 language, and there is a healthy measure of optimism and hope about finding a way to create a new covenant relationship for shared ministry together. It's an exciting time, and we want to see where it can go, what it will look like, how we can support each other, how we can learn from each other, how we can build each other up. And as we continue to lean into the process of finding and creating new forms of ministry, I really do hope we can keep these words of Jesus at the forefront of our minds and hearts. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. Friends, to lean in together, to do ministry together, to be Christians together, we will need to have agape love for each other. We cannot hold on so tightly to our own agendas, our own wants, and have this endeavor succeed. Instead, we will need to trust each other. We will need to serve each other. We will need to make room for each other and for our respective concerns. We all have a need to be heard, and we will all have a need to listen as well. As we go through this process together, as we consider what a shared covenant ministry can look like, we will all need a willingness to let go, or at least loosen our grasp on some of the things that matter most to us. That's only by laying down, letting go, and loosening our grasp of some things that we can all create something better, stronger, more vibrant, more Christ-honoring together. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. The work of forming our covenant has just begun. And as we go forward with forming our covenant together, may God's agape, sacrificial, selfless love, may it guide our discussions, our discernment, and our decisions. May God help us to let go and to lean in together. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Our prayers of thanksgiving and intercession. Let us pray. There are things in our lives and in our world for which we would want to give thanks. For knowing peace more than we know insecurity. For knowing friendship more than we know isolation. For the privilege of being part of a community of faith which gives our lives direction, meaning and purpose. We give thanks too for those things that are important to us, great or small, and which we name before God in a moment's silence. And as we think of those things in our lives that we're grateful for, we're prompted to offer our prayers of concern and compassion for the people in situations near or far that need our prayer at this time. We think of people and lives caught up in terrorism in all sorts of places in the world. Places where war has the upper hand, or where people are caught in seemingly relentless cycles of violence. We pray for peacemakers, the people who can see hope in the most hopeless of situations, people whose insistence or determination sows even the smallest seeds of change and transformation. We pray for people who are in some way an example to others, perhaps because of their knowledge, their faith, their compassion, their humour, their ability to love, or their resilience. We pray for people who are facing uncertainty of health, home, life, of work. People who put a brave face on each day and conceal how hard each new week can really be. Loving God, you offer healing and wholeness in ways that we can't always understand, but we pray nevertheless for your healing and wholeness, for those people who've crossed our minds in the last week, and for one another, the people we know, and the people whose lives we witness through our media. Guide, strengthen, and support us and those whom we love and care for, now and always.
Let us continue to pray using the words that Jesus gave to us.
Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name.
Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread.
And forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
Friends, greater love has no one than this, that someone laid down his life for his friends. As we go forward as individuals, as congregations, as churches, may the agape love of Jesus Christ be at the foundation of everything we say, think, and do as disciples. May we live into this agape love together, and in so doing, may we bear true witness to the love of Jesus Christ for this world. So go forth into this week, mindful of God's agape love, and may the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, may this blessing remain on each of us and upon all who we know this day and forevermore. Amen.